Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. From providing workplace solutions to nearly 1 million federal employees, to creating and developing the award-winning USA.gov portal, the United States General Services Administration seeks to help make government work better. To accomplish this mission effectively and efficiently requires a focused information technology strategy, one that leverages advances in technology while working to improve quality IT services. What is GSA's information technology strategy? How is GSA modernizing its IT infrastructure and ensuring its IT investments align with its overall mission? How is GSA providing balanced stewardship between information and technology? We will explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Casey Coleman, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. General Services Administration. Casey, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Also joining our conversation from IBM is Ken Beecher. Ken, welcome.
Thanks.
Casey, before I delve into the specifics of your role at GSA, could you give us a little bit of the history and mission of GSA?
Yes, GSA was founded in 1949. We just celebrated our 60th anniversary last year when President Truman signed the act that created GSA and with the intention of streamlining the administrative functions of government. So we've been around for a while.
So with that important mission, can you give us a sense of the operational size of GSA? How is it organized, the budget, number of full-time employees?
Yes, GSA has about 13,000 employees. We have a budget of about $26 billion a year, and we are located all across the country. We have offices in regional headquarters at 11 different cities around the country. A lot of field operations, because one of our big functions is the management of the buildings of the federal government, the Public Building Service, and so we have folks in large and small buildings all across the country where there is a federal presence.
With that mission, and it's an important government-wide mission, could you tell us a little bit about your role as the Chief Information Officer at GSA?
Yes. At GSA, our IT systems have an annual budget of about $650 million. My office, the Office of the Chief Information Officer, is responsible for about a third of that directly and indirectly responsible for the rest of it because I'm in charge of the overriding policy, architecture, information security functions that apply to all the other IT functions where the business systems reside. My office is also responsible for the actual operation of the combined infrastructure of GSA. About 4 years ago, we took 39 contracts and 15 help desks, consolidated that into one single program that's operated nationwide with all the common services put together. So things like the help desk, the management of laptops and Blackberries, the local break-fix support, support for email and collaboration functions. Those things which are common across the agency are managed out of my office. It's a pretty big function.
Regarding your responsibilities and duties, what are the three top challenges that you currently face in your position, and how are you addressing those challenges?
Well, broadly speaking, I would say the three are really modernization, innovation, and communications. And by modernization, I'm referring to our legacy portfolio of capabilities. Like most agencies, like most big organizations, most of the money GSA spends on technology goes to the support of ongoing systems that are already in operation, operations and maintenance. In fact, that's about 83% of our budget. We would really like to move the needle to support more innovative investments. We'd like to move that to one of our long-term goals, in fact, is to move that more to a balance of 60-40. So in order to do that, we have to modernize those legacy investments, free up the dollars that were previously being devoted to those, put more into innovative new capabilities. So modernization and innovation really go together. When I talk about innovation, I'm talking about really supporting the strategic priorities of the agency and the Obama administration, things that have to do with sustainability. Our administrator, Martha Johnson, has challenged the agency to work towards, to strive towards what we call our moonshot, which is a zero environmental footprint. The notion being that GSA could demonstrate leadership for how the government could achieve zero net carbon emissions. I have a lot of strategies, a lot of projects in support of that. And of course, in order to make those types of strategies successful, you really have to communicate effectively. And we've got, you know, busy stakeholders who are responsible for a great many other priorities. So you have to break through and make your message very clear.
You know, before we continue, let's just take a quick step back. Could you describe your career path for our listeners and how you began your career? And really, for me, what inspired you in public service? Was it your work during the Gulf War? And what inspires you now?
I believe I must have taken a slightly unusual path into federal service because I started off in private sector work. I was with Lockheed Martin. At the time, it was a different division that Lockheed has now acquired. It was LTV Missiles and Electronics. And so I did development on systems that were used in the Gulf War. And at one point in my career, early on, I had the opportunity to move from Dallas, where I'm from, to Washington, D.C., in the mid-90s to work for a year as a legislative fellow. So I had the chance to work on the legislative side of things as a fellow with an engineering society, the American Institute of Aeronautics and Astronautics. So sort of a scientific rotational assignment that gives you the opportunity to be exposed to the legislative branch and to offer some scientific expertise. And that really opened my eyes to how diverse and interesting and cosmopolitan and really exciting a place Washington is. After that year was up, I moved back to Dallas. And this was in the mid-90s, and the Netscape had just gone public, and the internet explosion was upon us. And so I left Lockheed Martin and was then with a series of technology startups. So I had large business experience, legislative branch experience, and then small business experience with a series of companies that went on to become divisions of other larger companies and sort of the consolidation phase that followed. But after 9/11, I really wanted to move back to Washington. I wanted to return to public service and the executive branch side, and I wanted to give back. I wanted to be involved in a mission of service to the country. That was really a motivational moment for me, and I found my way back to GSA, where I have been for the last 8.5 years.
Right. First FAS and now...
Yes, actually, first the Office of Citizen Services. That was my first role, and that was a new office at the time. It was a real challenge and a very interesting assignment because, unlike most of GSA, which is fee-for-service and dedicated to serving other agencies with business support services, the Office of Citizen Services, as you know, because Dave McClure was recently a guest on this show, is really devoted to service to the citizens, service to the public. And so we did some things then that are still part of their mission today that I think are very worthwhile, very motivational opportunity.
Well, Casey, you pick up on the fact that GSA's mission is government-wide. Mm-hmm. Does your office, the Office of Chief Information Officer, are they involved? Is it involved in government-wide initiatives outside of GSA?
You know, not as deeply as, for example, the Office of Citizen Service or the Federal Acquisition Service, Public Building Service, but we do get involved in some fashion. So, for example, GSA has always had perhaps little-known mission to support small boards and commissions and small agencies that themselves don't have the support infrastructure to conduct full administrative support functions. So we do provide some, you know, email support services and some internet connectivity, but in a very small sort of fashion for those very small organizations. I would also point to our involvement on the Federal CIO Council, and I sit on the Federal CIO Council and have had leadership opportunities there. So there's a chance to shape government-wide technology strategies.
So given your wealth of experience, what makes an effective leader?
I don't think it matters what industry you're in. I don't think it matters what functional specialty you're in. I think it really is always about building relationships, developing credibility, delivering results, communicating in a way that matters to people, not just about, you know, what it is we're trying to accomplish, but why it matters to our partners and stakeholders, and what is the relevant message that is going to communicate to them in a way that resonates.
Who's influenced your leadership style and management approach?
I've benefited from the leadership of so many different people. It's hard to single out just one, and I've learned from some great mentors. It's funny, but I've had three bosses by the name of Jim Williams, and all three of them have been great mentors to me. The first was Jim Williams at Lockheed Martin, who encouraged me to take that fellowship in Washington, D.C. for the first time. The second was Jim Williams, who was with the Federal Technology Service. And the third was former Federal Acquisition Service Commissioner Jim Williams, who recently retired. All three great role models and leaders.
Do you think in an increasingly interconnected and networked world that the concept of leadership needs to change to adopt to that?
I think some of the practices of leadership might change. Some of the mechanisms and tools. Again, I think leadership is timeless, but approaches such as collaboration, the ability to use new technologies adeptly, the ability to speak multi-generationally, those I think are new practices that we need to be fluent in.
What about GSA's efforts to enhance its IT governance? We will ask Casey Coleman, CIO at GSA, to share with us when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.